The growing coronavirus outbreak is causing chaos in global financial markets. It's freezing supply chains. It's causing companies all over the world to create work-from-home plans and ban business travel.
Fragile and frightened, on camp beds placed 1 meter apart, tents and shelters are now being used as hospital wards in northern Italy.
It's going to be at least a year to a year and a half until they have a vaccine broadly available to deploy.
Worse than 9/11, two times as bad as 9/11. Sales looking like they're down on domestic flights.
I am officially declaring a national emergency.
Emergency, that is the scene on Wall Street right now. You see the Dow Jones down almost 6%.
Countries around the world are now imposing extreme measures.
And a warning. The worst is yet to come.
Well, good morning. I want to thank you for being here, and I want to thank you for tuning in and participating in this unique worship experience. I know for many of you, this has been a crazy week of panic shopping. And so I want to thank you for taking a break and all the madness to be a part of this worship experience. I believe the Lord has a word for all of us today, and I'm glad that you're here. I want to thank you for taking a break from all the wildness. I know it's been a wild week for your entire family. You know, I still haven't figured out why a virus with symptoms of fever and coughing and shortness of breath have led to a toilet paper shortage in America. Maybe you can help me figure that out this week, but I'm still trying to figure that out. You know, I heard somebody say as we were walking in this morning, they said, you know, Pastor, at least all of this isn't happening during tick season. And I was like, what does that have to do? They said, yeah, because then you would have corona with Lyme. Oh. Half of you get that. The other half don't get that because you're Baptist. All right, but anyway. I hope you understand that even in moments like these, it's okay to laugh. Even in moments like these, it's okay to have a smile on your face. It's okay to live your life with the joy of the Lord. After all, it says in Psalm 118, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And I love that reminder for us today. Listen, you can be glad in the Lord today, even if your circumstances aren't that awesome. You can trust the Lord today. You can rely on the Lord today. You can have confidence in Him today, even if you can't see the good because of all the bad. This coronavirus has quickly changed our world, as you well know. Our president and world leaders have now declared a global state of emergency. The World Health Organization is calling this a pandemic. The latest stats as of this morning show that there have been 162,390 reported cases, and 6,068 people have been reported dead as a result of this virus. And as a result of these terrible tragedies, our world is quickly changing. You know, travel bans are quickly escalating. Large events and venues and parks across this nation are quickly closing. Thousands of people have now been infected. Grocery stores are emptying faster than ever before, and the stock market is all over the map. It's pretty amazing, is it not? It seems like there are more uncertainties floating around today than ever before. And yet it's in these uncertain times, you and I should be reminded that Jesus is still on the throne. This doesn't take him by surprise. It doesn't take him by surprise even for a second. And you know what Jesus tells you and I? He tells us that we cannot live in fear. We cannot. Not that we shouldn't. He said we cannot live in fear. And the reason is because that's not how God created you and I to live. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, he says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and sound judgment." Therefore, he tells us that we, as followers of Christ, must refuse to live in fear, yes, but we must also refuse to respond in fear. You may be wondering today, you know, is it even possible to walk through a season of life like this season without fear? And you know, the answer to that is absolutely yes. The Bible says you absolutely can walk through seasons like this without fear. God reminds us of that repeatedly in Scripture. In fact, when you look at the text, the phrase "fear not" is used 189 times in the Bible. When you add the expressions do not fear or do not be afraid, there are exactly 365 times in the Word of God where God tells us, do not fear. Live your life without fear. I hope you're taking notes today. I'm especially talking to those of you who are at home. Listen, don't let this worship experience be background noise for whatever else you're doing at home. I really want to encourage you today to lean in to what God is going to share with us out of His Word. I'm going to ask you to open up your Bible, have something to write on, something to write with, engage, pray, be a part of what God is leading us as a church to do today. And if you're taking notes today regarding what we just saw from God's Word about fear, I want you to take note of this. God has a do not fear for every single day of the year. 365 times, God is going to come out and say, do not fear. And I know we hear that. And I know we know that, but if we're being completely honest today, most of us would have to agree that inside of our hearts, there is something still there that is afraid from time to time. We have some fear when it comes to seasons of uncertainty in our life. Most of us are afraid of the unknown. What is going to happen next? Well, what if we never have toilet paper again? Well, what if we run out of hand sanitizer and the virus begins to spread? What happens if we get infected? What happens if my kids never go back to school again and I'm stuck with them in this house forever? Listen, the unknown creates fear in our heart. And today there are so many unknowns in our world. Today there's the unknown of financial concerns. There's health turmoil. There's life interruptions. I mean, when you look at the landscape in America today, we are seemingly surrounded by uncertainty. But hear me when I say this. Our God is never uncertain. Did you hear me? Our God is never uncertain. He is never at a point of question. Our God has never been at a point of confusion. He has always been greater than the uncertainties in this world. But at the same time, the devil wants to use the unknowns in your life to rob you of the peace in your life. And I want you to get this one today, okay? The devil, he has an agenda. And the devil wants to use the unknowns in your life to rob you of the peace in your life. We've got to understand that the devil wants you to live in fear. But don't forget what the psalmist said in Psalm 34:4. He said, I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and he rescued me from all my fears. And that's my prayer for us today, that God would do for us the same thing he did for the psalmist so many years ago, and today he would begin to rescue us from all our fears. I hope you have your Bible today. If you do, I want to encourage you to open to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 43. And from Isaiah 43, we're going to spend some time in that passage today, and I'm going to show you from God's Word, God's promises in seasons of uncertainty. God's promises in seasons of uncertainty. Isaiah chapter 43, I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. It says, now this is what the Lord says, the one who created you, Jacob, and the one who formed you, Israel, listen close. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. I will be with you when you pass through the waters and when you pass through the rivers. They will not overwhelm you. You will not be scorched when you walk through the fire, and the flame will not burn you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, and your Savior. I have given Egypt as a ransom for you, Cush and Saba in your place, because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. I will give people in exchange for you and nations instead of your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your descendants from the east and gather you from the west. You know, twice in these five verses, God tells us, do not fear. Now, I want to point out that not all fear is bad. In fact, some fears are actually good. If you go for a walk through the woods this afternoon and you come upon a rattlesnake, You ought to have a healthy fear of that snake. God allows a healthy fear of that snake because it is that healthy fear that's going to prevent you from getting bit. But I want to point out that living in fear is way different than living your life in pursuit of wisdom. We didn't adapt our worship experience today because we're living in fear. We made these adjustments because we are committed to pursuing wisdom. And it was in that pursuit that led us to heed the warnings of people smarter than us, with more information than us, regarding the issues that we're facing today as a nation. See, in times like these, I think it's okay to have a healthy fear, because it's that healthy fear that's going to lead you to wash your hands when you leave the restroom. It's going to lead you to avoid places where you could get sick. It's going to lead you to stay home if you're feeling ill. A healthy fear will lead you to making wise decisions. So if you're following along today, I want you to take note. There is such thing as healthy fear. However, that's not the kind of fear that God is talking about in this passage. In the same way that there is a healthy fear, I want to point out there's also an unhealthy, unholy, unhelpful kind of fear in this world, and that's the kind of fear that we're talking about today. The question is, what does God have to say to us regarding a fear of uncertainty? Well, beginning here in verse 1, God says, "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine." God tells us, when you're walking through a season of uncertainty, check this out. Do not fear, because you belong to God. You belong to God. Let that sink in today. Not only does God say, "You are mine," I also want to point out the fact that God just said, "I have redeemed you." That's his way of saying, "I have already purchased you." He's referring to what Jesus did on the cross for you. And God tells us, you don't have to be afraid because you belong to me, yes, but also because I've purchased you with my own blood. And he also is pointing out the fact that nobody cares more about you than me. Why? Because you are mine. Isn't that amazing? Listen, what a statement from God. What a promise from God. Listen to what he says in Isaiah 41. He said, "For I am the Lord your God, who holds your right hand, who says to you, 'Do not fear, for I will help you.'" I know that sometimes when we're walking through seasons like this, we start to think that we are the ones that are holding on to God. But let me just point something out to you today. We aren't holding on to God. God is holding on to us. Look at what he just said. He said, "For I'm the Lord your God, who holds your right hand, who says to you, 'Do not fear, I will help you.'" And look again at verse 1. "Do not fear, I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine." Now that raises a question. Have you been redeemed? Think about that today. Have you truly been redeemed? You say, what does it mean to be redeemed? Who are the redeemed? Both are very good questions. Because the truth is, according to God's word, whoever these people are, the Bible makes it very clear that the redeemed have been set free from fear. You see that? Fear no longer has the right to paralyze their potential. Fear no longer has the right to hinder their happiness. Who are these people? Well, the Bible says that word redeemed in the scripture, it means to release something. It means to deliver somebody. That word redeemed, it means to buy something back. And so when God says, "I have redeemed you," he's saying that through the blood sacrifice of his son Jesus, he purchased you. He bought you. He redeemed you and rescued you and then released you from the burden and the bondage of sin. So let me ask you a question today. Has Christ done that in your life? If so, why do you have your arms crossed? Listen, I'll just pause the whole message so you can just stop and scream hallelujah. Praise God for saving me, right? I mean, this ought to be a hallelujah, I'm shouting, I don't care if I'm Baptist kind of thing, because God saved you. He redeemed you. He gave you hope when there was no hope. Somebody better scream hallelujah today, right? I mean, come on. Jesus purchased you and you belong to him. Let me make this abundantly clear. The moment Jesus steps into your life, he owns you. Do you get that? He purchased you. You're a purchased possession. And because of that fact, here's what Jesus would say to us who are the redeemed when it comes to fear in our life. Here's what he would say. You ready? When we fear our future, we waste our present. When we fear our future, we waste our present. God told us very clear in Isaiah 43:1, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name, and you are mine. He said, you belong to me. Do you know what the opposite of fear is? It's trust. The opposite of fear is trust. And you know what that tells me? It tells me for those of us who belong to Jesus, seasons of uncertainty should be seasons of trusting, not seasons of fearing. Fear and trust are extremes. Fear and trust are polar opposites. You cannot be fearing while you're trusting. You cannot be trusting while you're fearing. When fear moves in, trust moves out. When trust moves in, fear moves out. And so when you live in fear, you're contradicting who God says you are. And when you live in fear, here's what the fear in your heart tells God. You ready? It says, God, I don't trust you in this situation. I don't think you're capable of being God in this circumstance. God, I believe that this situation is way too big for you. It's beyond your capabilities as the God of the universe. That's what fear screams to God. And let me just say, if that's where you're at with God today, I want to encourage you to memorize one verse of scripture today. You ready for this? Luke 1:37. Here's what it says. For nothing will be impossible with God. Did you hear me? For nothing will be impossible with God. You say, yeah, but what about curing this virus? Or what about the health concerns? What about my financial situation? What about my rebellious teenager? What about my troubled marriage that is on the rocks right now? Can I say it again? For nothing will be impossible with God. In fact, if you really believe that today, I want you to say it out loud with me right now. You ready? For nothing will be impossible with God. I want to hear the people at home. This should not be a moment where you're just looking at your screen, hanging out with your phone. If you believe this, I want you to say it wherever you are. You could be at Publix right now. I don't care. If you believe it, say it out loud. You ready? For nothing will be impossible with God. We've got to believe this today. Are you hearing what God is saying to us in this moment? Read verse 1 again. He says, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I've called you by your name. You are mine. And notice he doesn't stop there. In verse 2, he goes on to say, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And the rivers will not overwhelm you. Notice he doesn't say, if you pass through the waters. But in this text, he says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. He says, when you pass through seasons of uncertainty, those seasons, those waters will not overwhelm you. The question is, what are those waters in your life right now? What are those waters? Because here's what God is saying. He's saying, it doesn't matter if those waters are ankle deep, knee deep, or neck deep. Those waters will not overwhelm you. He's saying your God is greater than the waters that come alongside you. And he's saying your God will keep you afloat. Read it again. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you and the rivers will not overwhelm you. And he goes on to say, when you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched and the flame will not burn you. I don't know about you, but for me, it is comforting to know that Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer, is the one who promises to walk with us every step of the way. Amen. He's with us. And he says, do not fear because you belong to me. Let me give you a second thing this text shows us. He says, do not fear because God is your protector. God is your protector. I want you to see Proverbs 29, 25. It says, the fear of mankind is a snare. It's a trap. But he goes on to say, but the one who trusts in the Lord is protected. What a great reminder for us today that God is our protector. In Isaiah 43, God reminds us that the floods in life will come, and so will the fires. There's no escaping them. In fact, Jesus said it himself in John chapter 16, verse 33. He said, you will have suffering in this world, but be courageous. I have conquered the world. When I think about the fires that we walk through in life, my mind automatically goes back to the three Hebrew children that stood before King Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 3. And I love in that story in verse 17 when they said to the king, if the God we serve exists, then he can rescue us from the furnace of blazing fire. And he can rescue us from the power of you, the king. And I love this story because then King Nebuchadnezzar, you can just see the doubt in his heart. You can just see the smirk on his face. And he's thinking, yeah, we'll see about that, boys. And you know the rest of the story. He tosses all three of them into the furnace. All three of them go into the flames. And yet as the king is walking away, he takes a glance back into the furnace. And what did he see? Read verse 25. It says, he exclaimed, look, I see four men, not tied, walking around in the fire unharmed, and the fourth looks like a son of the gods. Let me tell you something about those flames. Let me tell you something about that furnace. You ready for this? Jesus was there the whole time. He was in there waiting for those boys. He was there already. And just as Jesus was waiting for them in the fire, I believe Jesus is waiting for you today. Listen, when you belong to him, fears of the unknown no longer have the right to have dominion in your life. You say, why is that? Well, look at what God says in verse 3. He says, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. And check this out. He says, and your Savior. He's the one who saves you. You know what these first three verses tell me? When God redeems you of your sin, God rescues you from your fear. When he redeems you from the sin in your life, I believe he rescues you from the fear in your life. God says, do not fear because you belong to me. He says, do not fear because I am your protector. But I want to show you one more thing that we get from this text. And it tells us, do not fear because God himself is with you. When God says, I am with you, he's speaking of his presence in all circumstances. He didn't say, I'm with you when things are really good. He says, I am with you, meaning he is ever present in your situation. In verse 5, he says, do not fear, for I am with you. And I want you to see, not only is God's protection promised to the redeemed, but the Bible tells us that God's presence is provided for the redeemed. Do you remember those three Hebrew children? Let me ask you a question about those guys. Did God take them out of the fire? Go ahead and say it out loud. Did he take them out of the fire? No, he didn't, did he? But instead, he took them by the hand and he led them through the fire. So let me ask you a question. Were they safer in the fire with God, or would they have been safer out of the fire without God? Here's the answer. They were safer in the fire with God. They were safer in that circumstance with God. That's the answer. And just as it was true in their life, guess what? It's true in our life as well. There's just something about the presence of God. Without the power and presence of God, there is no solution to fear. Without his power, without his presence, fear will always exist. You know, years ago, there was a ship that was stuck in a severe storm, and everybody on that ship was panicked and living in fear. A sailor on board had his son with him, and somebody noticed how calm this young boy was. So finally, one of the sailors walked up to this young man. He said, "Son, let me ask you a question. Are you not even a little bit nervous today? I mean, everybody else is terrified. Why are you so calm? Are you not a little concerned that this is going to end badly and we're all going to die in the middle of this storm?" And the young man looks the sailor in the eyes, and as calmly as can be, he said, "Sir, let me be honest. I'm not afraid of what might happen. I was just up on the deck, and I can tell you with great confidence that I'm 100% sure that this is going to all work out. It's going to be just fine." The man looked at the boy and he said, "Son, I can appreciate your confidence, but why are you so certain? Why are you so sure that everything's going to be just fine?" He said, "Sir, I'm confident because it's my Father at the wheel." Let me just remind you today, when your heavenly Father is at the wheel, no matter how severe the storm, no matter how high the waves may be, you can be assured that you are going to be okay. God says in Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold on to you with my righteous right hand." And if you're thankful for that today, would you just say amen?
Amen.
Amen.